One of the most disturbing elements of the Prohibition War is how it's made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows the futility of Prohibition and reaches out to educate the community and current law enforcement. Today, the Russ Belville Show visits with another speaker from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition with one clear message. Cops say legalize drugs.
All right, welcome back. Today in our Cops Say Legalize Drugs segment, we're going to be visiting with Tim Johnson. He's a retired police officer in Ohio, and let's see if we got Tim on the line. Tim, can you hear me okay? Hello, Tim?
Hello, Tim.
Tim, do we have you?
Yeah, I'm here, Russ. You there?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry about that connection there. It was a little shaky at first, but glad to have you here. And I understand that you're a new speaker with Law Enforcement Against Prohibition.
Yes, I am, and very excited to get things going.
So tell me about your experience as a patrol officer in Ohio and why that led you to want to join LEAP.
Well, Russ, I started out of the military, completed my criminal justice degree in law enforcement. Worked in the private sector for a while, and then I got into the department there in the central Ohio area. Led me into working for 20 years with two different departments. Upon what I've seen on the streets, the activities, the training that we went through, people's lives being destroyed and ruined over simple things, as just as simple as cannabis. The problems that we had in our judicial system and so forth, I followed LEAP, led me to follow LEAP for a long time until I was out of the, actually I had retired from the career field. Then I was able to speak out, actually use my First Amendment right then. And seeing what LEAP has done and what they were looking to do and still do to this day led me into wanting to be a part of their team.
So as a patrol officer, then you would have the opportunity to meet people in traffic situations. How much does marijuana play into the traffic stop, and how much is it used by cops to try to go after other possible crimes?
I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, and I don't mean to sound sarcastic, but it's a number one tool for law enforcement in their training to address traffic accidents, to hopefully get that little smell or to see some little paraphernalia in the vehicle that would lead to an interview or an interrogation of an individual, possibly an arrest, which ultimately could lead into a search warrant to a residency or to another facility. It's just the way we were trained. It's what we did. We're actually very successful at it. As I said, unfortunately for the people that we dealt with on the streets and so forth, sometimes that when it didn't go their work out for them, I've seen a lot of lives and a lot of families get ruined over it. Mm.
Do you think then that that part of the reason police are kind of resisting the legalization of marijuana isn't so much that they're afraid of marijuana, it's that it takes a tool out of their toolkit?
It definitely takes a tool out of the toolkit. It's also an administrative push. As we know, what they call quotas, and they found those to be illegal, so to say, so they since named them standard performance guidelines to see how the officer does and if they're actually out there working during the month or during that training period is what I found to be. Being a field training officer myself for 15 years and having to put new guys through this type of training, it was just as part of the pressure, part of the job, part of the administrative stuff. It's a definite supplement to especially smaller departments' budgets. Especially when you have get a nice arrest and bring in some nice cash, and the courts allow you to keep that. That funding there alone helps buy additional equipment. It also helps with uniforms and training of officers. Mm. So it's a definite motivator.
How much does corruption factor into this where, you know, maybe they don't even actually smell any weed, but they say they do, or they get a dog to alert when it's not really alerting?
I'm not going to go as far to say it's corruption, but I'm going to say as far as let's address the ethics issue on that. Having worked with canine units, both in the military and out into the street and in law enforcement, it's a definite. It's kind of a given. It's almost like going out and saying, we're doing traffic enforcement for operating a vehicle under the influence of alcohol. So it's very easy to assumptively say that someone went left of center, someone didn't make a full stop at the stop sign, so you're going to make an arrest. You're going to ask them to get out and participate in the field sobriety test and so forth. That same mentality and that same training bleeds over into when you're out doing a traffic enforcement for drug awareness or drug stops to see what you can find at that time. It's simple to say that, I smell cannabis. Do you have any in that car? And from there, the conversation's on. Law enforcement are trained very well as to, as a defense attorney would be, or even a prosecutor would be, to lead a witness or lead a suspect into saying something that they probably shouldn't say.
Always best advice to keep your mouth shut and invoke that right to remain silent in those kind of situations, I imagine. We're speaking with Tim Johnson. He's a retired patrol officer in the state of Ohio and a speaker with Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. You can find their website at leap.cc, LEAP.cc. And with respect to that, what we were just talking about on the traffic stops, is there a point at which the police focusing on marijuana is actually detrimental, that it's actually taking away from focusing on other crimes?
Oh, most definitely. The overall function of law enforcement focusing on the drug war as an overall aspect takes away law enforcement from the areas of schools that need protection and need safety. It takes them away from the neighborhoods. Takes them away from the businesses and so forth to go out on the traffic, the high traffic areas, and patrol them. Traffic stops are rather easy. I'm not going to make light of them. They're very dangerous for law enforcement. We know that's the number one reason for the loss of life in law enforcement. But it's very easy to go out and enforce traffic laws to look for violations and so forth. But it definitely does take away from other areas that they could be patrolling and focusing on more so for the community as a whole.
Another aspect of policing that's come under scrutiny especially in Ohio, considering the Cleveland case of Tamir Rice, is the interaction between patrol officers and members of minority communities, the Black community, Latino community. We've seen the stats that show, marijuana enforcement is very disproportionately racially enforced. But now that we've legalized marijuana in a few states, we still see that what arrests remain are still racially disproportionate. Is this a function of, has the drug war created this racial divide, or is it just exacerbating it?
I think the drug war is exacerbating that problem. And law enforcement is the way that they're handling it by going and focusing, going after those specific neighborhoods. I did a lot of community relations. Was one of my specialties while I was in law enforcement. And it's quite easy for them to focus and go after those neighborhoods that are predominantly have social economic problems and so forth, where they're more condensed. The more people that's there, the more likely you're able to find some type of a crime and so forth. In reference to the legalization of marijuana and cannabis in the state, to me, myself, what I call it is re-legalized. And it's really not even legal. All they've done is employed more laws that law enforcement have, more tools, actually, for law enforcement to go out and enforce those laws as well, even though they say it's legalized. Now they're going to go out and they're going to check to see if you're following what they call the legalized laws. So it's a definite tool to help law enforcement either way you look at it.
Currently in the state of Ohio, your legislature is working on a really restrictive medical marijuana bill. And then there's also a citizens initiative to try to have a more expansive medical marijuana bill. Are law enforcement there opposing that as well, the medical aspect?
Well, you got me right on the nose there. I've been working since last September with the legislators down at our state house, senators and representatives alike. I put a lot of time into it. I personally have a Facebook page called Ohio Cannabis Safety First, where we address a lot of the issues on there. And coming in the 1st of June, Cannabis Safety First, I'll be launching a website page addressing a lot of that stuff. But as I said, we've been working with the legislature, the body there at the State House, and yes, the law enforcement people that have came and talked and opposing the relegalization of some medicinal cannabis in the state of Ohio, when you get them alone and talk to them outside of the public eye, they're more open to it. But as one of the chief deputies, yesterday, Tuesday of this week, I testified in front of the Senate committee. Myself and a chief deputy from one of our counties here came and testified, and he kind of hit it on the point. When he testified, he's doing what he has to do according to the administrative rules, guidelines, and policies of his career field. But after I talked with him out in the hall, it was a whole different viewpoint of how he looked at it and how law enforcement in general realize that cannabis isn't really the problem on the streets. There's a lot more the opiate problem, the meth problem, and so forth. But it's just that marijuana is an easy tool, or I guess an easy violation to go after because it's so evident. It's just out there. It's everywhere. It's on the street corners. It's, you know, in our schools, in our businesses, our workplaces. It's just out there everywhere. So it makes it easy for law enforcement, but to use that and go after it. But yeah, there is a bill here. As of yesterday, when I was at the Senate hearing, they moved it to a Senate bill, and people here aren't real happy with some of the changes that were made in it. So there's a lot of pushback on it now. The group Marijuana Policy Project is here in Ohio pushing a citizen initiative-driven bill. Hopefully that will make it to the ballot, and it is moving strong. They are collecting signatures daily, so we're looking at that to be on the ballot in November. If the legislators have been told, if they don't want that in the Constitution, then what they need to do is trump that language. And at this point, they're quite a ways from trumping that language. They've actually made it more difficult.
Yeah. Well, Tim Johnson, I also noticed that you're working with the Ohio Cannabis Nurses Association on this, and we appreciate you putting that work in. Before we let you go, is there any other contact information aside from that Facebook page you want to let people know about?
Well, at this time, you can go to our Ohio Cannabis Safety First page on in Facebook. And as I said, in June, we'll be launching a national company, Cannabis Safety First, which will address a lot of safety issues, a lot of security issues around this industry and as well as others. There's also the Ohio Rights Group I've been consulting with, as well as the aforementioned a association you mentioned that I've been consulting with. There's a multitude of different agencies or different associations and organizations here in Ohio that are trying to work together as a team effort to get something done. I've been doing a lot of consulting with. So,
well, thank you for doing that. Tim Johnson with Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. We appreciate you talking to us today.
Thank you, Russ.
This is the Russ Bellville Show on CannabisRadio.com.